The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I want to start today, and I just want to be to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And we're going to start, and today I just want to read a verse in chapter 2, and then we're going to really go to verse 4. And if you listen with a spiritual ear today, I believe God is going to give you something. The sower sows the word, doesn't he? The sower, the farmer, the planter. The spiritual planter is the man, that the person that has the word that they speak into the atmosphere. But it doesn't just go into the atmosphere. What it really does is the seed, the farmer is really looking for ground. And the ground that the farmer's looking for is the hearts of mankind. Today, my heart is a field. My heart is like the earth. A sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed some seed. And then Mark 4 and Matthew 13 tell the same story about the seed. The sower sows the word. And Mark 4 and Matthew 13 both go on to talk about the kinds of ground or earth or hearts that the seed potentially falls in. There's only four categories of people, really. The seed, in some cases, falls on what he called wayside ground. Not even really in the middle of the field where the dirt and the earth is good and all tilled up and ready to receive the seed. The on the side of the field where the farmer would walk and where the ground is trodden over is wayside. It's unprepared ground. It's unready ground. And then there's what he talks about is thorny ground, where the ground is it's ground, and it's better than the wayside ground, but there's thorns. The weeds were still in the ground. And the word, the seed of the word, tries to grow up, but it's choked by the thorns. The thorns choke the health of the seed and what it's trying to grow, and it produces no fruit. And then there's rocky ground. Rocky ground, so you can't plant. You can, but it won't work. You throw the seed on ground that's got a lot of rocks in it, and those rocks are there. Well, the seed, it says that the seed will, it can't push down. It can't put roots down. You know, that's what's happening with a lot of the seed that you've got in your heart. It's putting roots down before it comes up. There's a lot that's happening under the surface before that which is seen. Come on. That's exactly right. But the seed starts sprouting and starts to put down roots, but it hits that rock that's in that ground. This is in somebody's heart. And because it can't go down, it comes up too quickly. But it's unprepared for the heat of the day. It's weak. It doesn't have its roots down long enough. And so it comes up too fast. And when it comes up, when the sun comes out that's supposed to, give all the energy and light and source of health to the seed, the seedling as it grows, the sun is too hot for it, and it withers and dies and doesn't produce fruit. That's the way some people are. Some people have, in other words, some people are wayside ground. They're just not ready for anything. The seed of the word lays on top of their heart, and the birds come and take the seed. They just eat the seed. It produces nothing. Some people have too many thorns and cares in their life. It chokes the word. And other people have rocks in their life, and the word comes up too fast, and there's no depth to their spiritual experience. But what we're looking for, the fourth kind of heart or ground, is called good ground. Everybody say good ground.
Good ground.
Good ground. And that's ground that's prepared and ready. All the weeds are out of it. All the stones are out of it. It's not trodden underfoot. It's ready to receive the goodness of the word, of the seed. And when the seed is put in that good ground produces some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That's what we believe today that's going to happen as we receive the word. That I believe everybody here is good ground. I'm just believing that today. And if you're not, while I'm preaching, weed your ground and pick the stones out so that you are good ground. All right. So, 2 Kings chapter 2. It says, it came to pass, verse 1, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. I want to talk about the word Gilgal today. Elisha, we preached this a few weeks ago with Sergio as my object lesson here. I was Elijah and he was Elisha. And Elisha was a younger prophet. Or he was a younger man. He was in the field. He was plowing his field at the time. And Elijah, the prophet, walked through his field and threw his mantle on Elisha. And Elisha, the mantle was a type of calling for Elisha. And he began to follow him. In this chapter right here, this is when they started their journey. And the Bible says that Elisha went with Elijah down to this place called Gilgal. And I just want to introduce today by saying this. The word Gilgal in the Hebrew means the place of the wheel. The place of a wheel. A wheel, you know, this is the title of the message today, is how to get rolling. Some of you, you know, my family was all from Mississippi, you know, so my family were real country people. When I'd go see my relatives, you know, some of them lived way out. I mean, my dad was from a place called Boonville, Mississippi, a little bitty town in northern Mississippi. My mom was from Corinth, Mississippi. Neither one of them very big places. Boonville, I don't know, 5,000 people in the town, but I mean, then it's country, and it's there. You know, there's country, and then there's country. Then there's beyond the country out in this. You know, I remember my relatives lived on these way, way out. We'd go on an asphalt road, and then a gravel road, and then just a dirt road, and then some of them lived on no road. And we're so, so far removed. And they lived in an old house. And I mean, some of them had outhouses. And some of them, I remember one time we went to Uncle Chester's house. And Uncle Chester was way out there, man. And Uncle Chester, and it was raining. It was a big storm. And we sat in the car in this old wooden house on his farm, and you know, finally the rain kind of let up a little bit, and one of us jumped out, ran up on the front porch and knocked on the door. Nobody came, and all of a sudden I looked over, and out of the ground these two wooden doors flew open, and here came Uncle Chester and his family. They were down in the storm cellar. So that's, you know, that's where I came from. That's where my family heritage. That's where we came from. Everybody has a place that you come from. And I remember on the way to Uncle Chester's house, I don't know why this is out there, I guess because you're so far out, but you know, when people's car just wore out, broke down, they just take the wheels off of it and just put it up on, there's You know, and on the way to out through these different places out to Uncle Chester's house, man, there was all these old cars up on blocks. Well, but even if we wanted some of those old cars to get going, they needed something, man. They needed some wheels to get them rolling. I want to tell you today that everybody here needs, you need to get rolling. Your spiritual life needs to get rolling. You need to get off your blocks today. And you need to get somebody, we need to put some wheels on you today. And you need your own version of Gilgal in your life today. Gilgal is the place of the wheel. It's the place where things get rolling. You know, it's significant in this journey with Elisha and Elijah. The first place they went was to Gilgal. In other words, they had Elisha in his journey to get the mantle from Elijah. He needed to get off his blocks and get something rolling in his life. For me, when Christ came into my heart on the 28th day of July in 1973, that was the beginning of my Gilgal in my life. That's the time in my life at the cross where I first saw the light. When I stepped out of that party that night and said, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. What happened is he put wheels on my life. And it was the beginning of my life. That's where I got rolling in my life. It's the day I started living. It's the day I found light and life and purpose and hope and led me to Sarah and all the great benefits and blessings of my life. The cross is my Gilgal. A lot of people want to start down at Jericho, but I tell you, every believer needs to go to the cross. You need to go to the blood. You need to be water baptized. We need to go to Jesus and get rolling today for the glory of God. Danielle got saved a few weeks ago. We put some wheels on her life, man, and she's rolling now for the glory of God. Gilgal is the place of the wheel. And what I want to talk about just for a few minutes, there's a lot more to say about Gilgal, but for time's sake, I want you to look at chapter 4 now. I want to talk to you about another way that God uses a type of Gilgal to put us into motion and get us going. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, let's look at verse 8. 2 Kings 4, 8. It says, And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to a place called Shunem, where there was a, what it says here is, there was a great woman, there was a notable woman, a woman of some notoriety. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. Now, even though verse 8 says this woman was a person of notoriety, in other words, what would you say? She was known by other people. She was known by some accomplishments. Some people are known because they've done some great things. But you know what? Even though this woman had done some great things, I want to point out in just a minute, the Bible's going to show us just because you're a person of notoriety, a famous person, a known person, a rich person, famous person, a star, you know, that doesn't mean that everything in your life is in place. People of notoriety, I've learned this, man, we all need a Gilgal in our life. There's things that we need in our life, even though we got some things in place. If we're missing some key things, we're going to be missing some big things. So this woman was a person of notoriety. Elisha just happened to, and where she lived on some kind of a road where Elisha often was in his journeys, apparently more often than not, he would pass that way. And the Bible says there, this notable woman when he passed by, one day she did something. And I want to show you something. See, you got to watch for opportunities, because we can miss opportunities to get something rolling. The prophet of God was walking by. It didn't say the prophet came to her. Listen, the prophet was walking by. But what she did was she created a Gilgal. She created a wheel. She created, some of us are waiting for a wheel to come into our life, something to get us rolling. Well, sometimes you got to stop waiting around for somebody else to put a wheel on things to get things rolling. And sometimes you got to look for a Gilgal. You got to look for something to get you rolling. Well, this woman was notable, but here's what she did to start things off. She constrained him to eat bread. And as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. Now, Elijah had been back and forth there, but finally she said, you know what? I just feel like I ought to ask that prophet of God. I ought to tell him, come in here and eat some bread. He didn't ask for bread, but she wanted to create an opportunity. I looked up in the Hebrew the word constrained. What's it mean that she constrained him to eat bread? Here's what this woman did. In the Hebrew, constrained means to fasten on to. In other words, she didn't just say, come on in and eat some bread. Brother, she locked on to the man of God. She fastened herself. She connected herself to the man of God. She fastened on to him. In the Hebrew, constrained means she seized him. In other words, Elijah was just walking by, but this notable woman, she reached out and seized him and took hold of him. It literally means, in some places in the Old Testament, the word constrained is, it literally means to become obstinate about. It wasn't, now here's courtesy. Hi. Mr. Elisha, how are you? Good to see you today. We notice you're walking by. Would you like to come on into my house and eat some bread? No, that's not what this word means. This guy's walking by, and one day this lady laid hold on him and fastened to him and seized him and became obstinate, aggressive about, here's what this lady would say in my translation. Hey, Mr. Prophet, I got to get something rolling in my life. You are coming in here today into my house. You're coming to my house and you're going to eat some bread. It's the word that's sometimes translated to conquer, to overcome. What she did was, in her aggressiveness, in order to get something, you know, if you're just sitting around passive, things are going to stay like they are. I don't want anything to ever to stay like it is in my life. I want something to happen in Pastor Crabb's life. I want something to get rolling in my life. And so this woman, she constrained him. She seized him. She got obstinate with him and said, come on in here and eat bread. Now notice something. This guy's a prophet of God. Notice. He never did before. But look what he did at the end of this verse. And he turned in there and ate bread. Listen, once this lady, the way this lady told him, like there was no option. You're going to turn in here and you're going to eat some bread with us. I'm telling you, I promise, I'm telling you today, quit waiting around for somebody to put a wheel on your life and let's get something rolling today. Let's do something like this woman did. She constrained him. She got obstinate with him. And once he did, it's like he just gave into it and finally said, okay. And from then on, he began to turn in there and he began to eat bread. Put that verse back up there for me. All right, now watch what it says. Hallelujah. Next verse. And she said to her husband, now listen carefully to this. Behold, now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. Okay, what does that mean that she perceived that? That's the reason that she started doing what she was doing in the first place. That's the reason she finally said, I'm not going to let this man pass by my house and just go by me, because I perceive this is a holy man of God. There's something different about that man when he passes our house. There's a mantle that he's got. Remember, he's got the mantle from Elijah, and he's just walking by. But she didn't say, I see, look at how religious that guy acts when he walks by our house. Sometimes you got to look deeper than just what's on the outside. That was what was a matter with a lot of people in Jesus. They just looked at his humanity. They looked at him on the outside. The people in Nazareth, where he was from, they just said, well, that's Joseph. That's Joseph's son. That's just a carpenter's son. That's why he could do no mighty works there. You got to perceive that this is a holy man of God. Amen. And when she perceived it, she went to her husband and said, I perceive this is a holy man of God who is passing by us continually. Next verse. Let's do something about this. Let's get something going. Let's make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he comes to us, we know he's going to keep coming by here because this is where he goes. And now that I've wrestled him and gotten obstinate with him about this is where you're going to stop and eat bread. In other words, what she's saying was, we got things started by getting him into the house to get some bread, but let's take it further. I got saved in 1973, and that was like, Jesus turned into my life and he became the bread of my life. But I want to take it further. I want to get my life really rolling today, man. I'm looking for some things. I'm looking for some miracle money, some miracle power. I'm looking for some miracle joy. I'm looking for some miracle peace. I got to get a whole lot of things rolling. I came to Cincinnati to cause a riot, a revolution, or a revolt. We're going to create something to happen, man. Well, that's what this lady was trying to do. I don't like things like they are. Right. Come on. Things aren't okay in my life. Let's get something rolling here. So she puts pressure on him and says, come eat some bread. And then she said, now I perceive there's more to this man than meets the eye. This is a holy man of God. Let's do something. Let's make a little chamber, I pray, on the wall. And she said, let's build an addition. Let's don't just feed him while he passes by. Listen to me. Let's get him to stay. Let's get him more than just, if Jerry was that lady and I was Elisha, not just pass by, turn in, get some bread, and then he's going to leave again. Let's get the man of God to stay overnight. Let's get him when he comes to our area. Let's build a room on here for him. The old timers used to call it, they'd build a prophet chamber or a prophet's quarter. And they, because what they wanted was holy men to stay, just like this. Let's build a room on here for this guy. Let's put a bed in there and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he will turn in there. See, that's the second time she's used the word, and he will turn in. He turned in and ate bread. Now he's turning in and spending the night. I'll tell you, this lady's trying to get something going. She's trying to get off the status quo, the way things are. She's trying to get out of, well, this is how I've always been. This is the way things are going to be. Praise God. She's going farther than that. Next verse. And it fell on a day that he came in there, and he turned into the chamber, and he laid there. Hallelujah. So he did it. A second time in these two verses, he's listening to this woman. In other words, this woman's the one. This woman is almost the one that's in control of this situation, man.
That's right.
Because she's trying to get something rolling. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, you have shown concern for us with all this care. What is, now this is, here's what the woman really wanted right here. She wanted him to ask this question. She said, he said, what do you want? What is to be done for you? In other words, what are you after in building this house, this chamber on the side of your house? What are you really looking for? What is to be done? What could we do for you? Would you be spoken of? Do you want me to talk? I know the king. Do you want me to talk to the king for you? Or the captain of the host? Would that help you? Is that what you're looking for? She answered, I dwell among my own people. In other words, I don't need the king, and I'm not looking for the captain of the host. And he said, what is then to be done for you? What do you want? And Gehazi answered. And Gehazi, his servant, said, truly, she has no child, and her husband is old. So this lady was it. What was the matter with her? She was barren. And she wasn't barren with a young stud in the barn here. She was barren with an old guy that she was married to. In other words, this guy's, here's the woman's problem. She's got no children, and her husband is not potent. Next verse. And he said, man, this is where I want to get. When you do what she's done, this is what you get. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this time, this season, according to the time of your life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, don't lie to thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bore a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. This is my simple message today. You know, we all need things rolling in our life. It's time to get things rolling in the church. It's time to get things moving in the house of God. It's time to get things moving in our ministry. It's time to get things moving in my personal life. Well, if I'm tired of the same old, same old, same old, I need a Gilgal in my life. And who would have thought that the thing that would get this woman, the thing she was lacking and wanting in her life, would be to perceive that's a holy man of God, and I need him to turn in here, and I'm going to build a room on so that I can be near him more often and be good to a man that walks with God. That, the bread she gave him and the room she built on her house became the thing that got things rolling in her life and got to this point. And the woman conceived. Now look, at the woman still had, her husband didn't get younger. She didn't walk in one day and he was standing there looked like a young guy. He was still as old as he ever was. What had changed is that she had perceived there's a holy man of God there, and I want to make a connection with that holy man. And her connection with the man of God, with the holy man and the holy thing, turned into her miracle. Now listen, and believe in God for opportunities to get things rolling in my life. Dr. Barclay calls this the Shunammite situation. The woman of Shunem that simply perceived this is a man of God, and I want to connect with the man of God to get a miracle that I need to get things rolling in my life. Now, I really mean this, man. I went by a truck the other day. I had a truck one time. I don't know how to fix anything, do anything. I've never wanted to haul anything. I told you one year, the church at Christmas time, they presented Sarah, my wife Sarah, they gave her a tool belt. Because they knew if they gave me one, I wouldn't know which, I didn't even know how to hold the thing. The good news about not knowing how to do anything is nobody ever asks you to fix anything. I've never been asked. I'm 63 years old. Nobody has ever had, at church work days and stuff, if I pick up a hammer laying around and, we're at a work day or something, and I get a hammer, I mean, the little children start screaming, "Mommy, pastor's got a hammer. Oh, my gosh, somebody stop him." I don't know how to fix anything. So having a man truck, to haul you stuff. I got nothing to haul. That's just not me, man. I have other talents. We're trying to figure out what they are, but I'm working on them, man. Huh? But I went, I had one time, I had a pickup truck for a couple years. It was just cool. The other thing about not being like that is that I got rid of that pickup truck quickly, because I realized when you have a pickup truck, everybody asks you to help them move. Isn't that right? If you don't have a pickup truck, nobody asks you to, "Can we borrow your truck?" No. So, but I was thinking about this the other day. I pulled up at a light. I was up in Midland, Michigan. And I pulled up at a light, and there was one of those, one of those trucks where the guy's got this thing jacked up, like a monster truck. Yeah, that's what it was. Like I was looking up at this guy like, "Bro, how did you get in that thing?" You need a ladder to get up in that thing. The wheels were huge on that thing. And then I wanted to tell the guy to roll down his window, but he couldn't see down that far. I wanted to say, "Man, why would you have such a thing?" But that guy has, man, the wheels on that thing were not like the wheels on a little bicycle. The wheels on that thing were huge. And then I thought about this message, and I thought, there is a good illustration of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some big old wheels, like on a monster truck, to get everything really rolling along in Pastor Crabb's life. Some of you have been in the same place for too long. I preached last year on a message out of Deuteronomy chapter 1 that said, the Lord spoke and said, "You've been on this mountain too long." Some of you have been in the same place too long. You've been in the same stuck. You've been in the same rut. Some of you let your marriages stay in the same rut it's been in for all that time. Some of you, you need a miracle. But what you need is, all I'm telling you is, you can't just sit around and wait for that thing. You're like the car that's up on the blocks down in the country in Mississippi. You got to get some wheels on that thing first. You need a Gilgal to get you rolling. And today I'm believing God. This is for us today. I'm believing God that God has given us an opportunity to create a Gilgal. I just want to use this as an illustration for your life and for your ministry and for what God wants out of your life. You need something to get you rolling in your life. Look at the person on your left and right and say, "It's time for you to get rolling." Today, look at me. I mean, right now, it's time to get rolling. It's time to get going. It's time to get moving. It's time to get things in motion. It's time to get off your blessed assurance. It's time to start that ministry. It's time to preach the gospel. It's time to go to the mission field. It's time to give the money. It's time to help the poor. It's time to start what God wants you to do. It's time to constrain the man of God. Come into my house. Build something on. Sow something into something so that the money can, so that what your miracle can come back into your life. Amen.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.